They want to do that, my dad. Anyway, when I was...
It's in the wrong one.
If you've ever been in a major denomination, to come to the grace movement, you have to be willing to listen to what someone else explains to you about what the Bible is really teaching you. So that's how I came. Another grace pastor confronted me, Pastor Steve Todd, and asked me over to the lunch counter and bought me a couple of one of those Greek drinks he used to have. They had six of them.
Yeah.
They were like vegetable drinks.
Yeah.
Remember those? They were pretty good.
Yeah.
And he bought me some knickknacks to go with them, and he started asking me questions about the Bible. Well, it wasn't that I was willing to listen to what he said. My conversion was out of cockiness. Mm-hmm. I was cocky enough to think I knew enough Bible to handle myself against somebody like Steve Todd. and he asked me, when did the Church of the Body of Christ start? I said, well, Acts chapter 2. Everybody knows that. That was a cocky answer. Mm-hmm. And so when he asked me, can I open Acts chapter 2 and can we look at some things in the Word of God? I said, sure, I had no problem with that. I felt well able to handle myself. He began to show me God's Word, that there were no Gentiles that, I had it in my back of my mind. 3,000 souls came to Christ in Acts chapter 2 and then were entered into the church. Well, the church in Acts chapter 2 was already existing. It was nothing new. They entered into an already existing church. They didn't begin a new body of believers called the body of Christ. It was kingdom gospel in Acts chapter 2. And, I got my wheels clipped out from underneath me that day. So, it took Betty and I about two and a half years, maybe. I'd go to church at my denominational church on Sunday morning, and then we'd slip out after Sunday school, and we started going to Pastor Todd's services, and we go to Pastor Todd's Bible studies on Thursday nights, but it still took us a long time to make up our minds about this grace doctrinal movement thing. So once I did, I tried to share that with my family, and when I tried to share it with my family, I didn't know enough to make an adequate presentation of the doctrinal differences between the denomination and when you start telling a Baptist that there's no baptism, it's not for the dispensation of grace,
Whoa.
So anyway, that brings me to this Bible. I asked that this is a wide margin Cambridge Bible. And the thing about wide margin Cambridge Bibles is the wide margin, which enables you to make notes in the margin of your Bible. And I determined to use this as a tool to present grace doctrine to my family in the front of my Bible. It says, I've got this as a request from God. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Psalms 119, 125. Lord, please show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Psalms 25, 4 and 5. O send me out thy light and thy truth. Let them guide me, dear Lord. Psalms 43:3. Then teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Psalm 68:11. So those are my guiding principles of studying God's word and asking his help upon me. And I've got this flyer in there. This Bible was given to me by my children. Betty and I have five kids. And they pitched in and they gave me this Bible. I assume they each pitched in to pay for it as a gift to me. And I say in the flyer of this Bible, it was my intent to leave behind a heritage of notes to my children. And I believe the best way to decide who gets this fire after passing is to draw straws for it. It seems fair to me. There's only one person can have the Bible. I have left behind on a memory stick my notes from this Bible on my computer. I love you, Dad. May God magnify His word to you. So when I tried to explain this to my kids, they were rather standoffish. Well, it took Betty and I 2.5 years of going to weekly meetings. They've had exposure to it the one time I tried to explain it to them, and that was it for them. So now they're like this to us. And it was my purpose with this Bible to break through that wall. So in the back of this Bible, I started making my grace notes. There's an index of all the notes that I had in the Bible. Then I hand wrote my notes in the back of the Bible like that. And it's pretty thick. There's 63 pages of notes back here, handwritten.
Get started.
Here's a chart that I made up for. End time prophecy chart that I made up for them so they can understand it by looking at a chart. Put that in the back of my Bible. And then there was one thing I wanted to read to you, but I can't find out what they did with it. It's in here someplace, folks. Give me a chance, I'll find it. I think. Well, page 26, 27, I had it printed out so I wouldn't have to read my own writing. Here it is. I left them an order of how to read my notes in the Bible, and this is the first thing I left for them, that I asked them to read this first. It's called An Illustration of Truth Seeking. We have two parents, a mother and a father, who for one reason or another are considering a homeschooling education for their kids. It could be for a variety of reasons, undesired curriculum changes in the public system, it could be a desire of the kids themselves, or it could be a perceived notion that homeschooling is better than public schooling, yielding higher test scores. It could be a move from one community to another community and not liking the new school system that they're introduced to. Or it simply could be pressure from church and family members to homeschool. The thing is, one parent is dissatisfied with the public system and the other, not so much. I mean, sure, it could be better, but basically, he feels it is doing a good job. And besides, there are sports in the public system. So they are not in agreement, and they decide to research the issue. They decide to educate themselves on the subject and set out to learn as much as they can. They talk to friends, read editorials, and do online searches for homeschool. The father talks to his friends, all of whom are pro-public education, some of whom may be public school teachers themselves, all of which poo-poo the homeschool movement. However, he proudly feels he is getting it straight from the horse's mouth. And all the newsprint he reads are pro-public and anti-homeschool. It seems like all the online searches he pulls up support his base belief that public education is better. He hears a lot of negatives about homeschool and homeschool students, and it's as if his mind was made up before he started his investigation, and he is simply finding support points to convince his wife for public education. He comes away with a generally negative thesis on homeschooling and provides a negative report about homeschooling parents who are presented as not qualified to teach their kids. And he is positive he has come to a right decision for his kids in staying with the public system. He boasts that he has thoroughly investigated and researched the topic to his complete satisfaction. Now, Mom is on the same journey, but she takes a slightly different path. She finds the same negative comments about homeschool movement and makes mental note of them. She then seeks out answers to those objections and accusations. And she reads rebuttal editorials to the anti-list and finds the opposition really does not understand or willingly misrepresents the homeschool movement. She studies the comparison stat charts between public school results and homeschool results. And she finds a homeschool mom and discusses her real-life views of homeschool management. She considers her scheduling difficulties and curriculum needs and expenses. She learns of homeschool networks that provide extracurricular activities outside of the classroom, like sports and field trips and discussion. She discusses carpooling with the other mothers. She finds that in-network, she can find help with teaching those subjects that she may be weak in. And as a result, she ultimately comes away, after months of research, feeling like the homeschool education would be the best thing for her kids, and that they should change from the public system to the homeschool system. So her husband disagrees. And he assures her that he has researched this matter, and she sends him online articles in hope that he will see the other side, but he refuses to read them. His mind is made up. He begins to feel that his wife is out there. A little extreme, he thinks his wife is. Of course, this is damaging their relationship and needs to be resolved. Now, we can readily see in this little story the problem is not with the final decision made by the parents. The problem is with the method that they chose to arrive at their decision. You cannot solve a problem with only one half of the equation. When you find a sentence with a parenthesis in it, you must read the parentheses for accurate interpretation. Unless the husband relents and actually researches the other side of this equation, the wife will never feel that he has done his due to understand her position. The principle is also true in other areas of life and the decisions that we make in them. The foundation stone for our decisions must be truth. The Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That was one of Pastor Steve Todd's favorite quotes. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding will never come from simply trying to reinforce your present position. We need to expose the truth and literally buy into it. Now, of course, for the Christian, the truth is the Word of God, John 17:17, and our decisions must be lined up with our understanding of God's truth. As our understanding increases and changes, it so necessitates that our decisions and our actions must correspondingly change with it. Surely no one would be brash enough to state that they have a complete understanding of God's word. Sometimes we must be shown the truth. 2 Timothy 2:2. I had to be shown the grace messages in the scriptures before I could buy into it. I had to have my proud wheels knocked out from underneath me. I had to be taken down a notch or two before I could see what I was being presented with. And it was done very lovingly. Pastor Todd was a master at the open concept. I mean, he could be preaching and he could just blurt out, I don't know if anybody else did this, but you remember, I did it. I would just blurt out a question, and he would stop and answer my question and go on with his message. If I had another question, I just blurted it out, and he'd stop and answer the question and go on with his message. I couldn't do that if someone did that to me, but I did it to him. So eventually, I came to recognize and see the truth. Sometimes we must be shown truth. And then we will be willing to accept it when we see it, if it is done in a loving and generous way. Now, if he had capped me down, if he'd have thumped me on my head, you know, I'd have just shut him down. But he, in love, addressed each question I had. If truth was not evaluated and then acted upon as understood, the great religious reformation of history would not have ever taken place. Most of us understand that understanding and knowledge is progressive and growing in nature. In many ways, we have come to understand more truth today than even the great reformers understood at the time of their enlightenment. As Christians may we truly be receptive to God's word and put Proverbs 23:23 to action in our lives. So this is the first thing my kids will read when they pick up this Bible and they find the other notes in the back of this Bible. You know, because if they read those notes first without reading this, they're still going to have those wheels underneath them that need to be taken out. I hope that they will humble themselves before God as they read my notes and read my interpretations of Scripture in the margins of this Bible. And I hope that this could be an idea for you. Maybe you've got some relatives, wives, children, aunts, uncles, cousins that think you're a little nutty about your belief of Scripture and the grace movement. And you could do something like this to leave the message behind you for someone else to find and to educate them in the great doctrine. So that's my devotional for this morning, and I hope that it would be profitable to you. Stephan, will you close for prayer, please?